Last week we was looking at Zacchaeus, and we've been speaking about different people that God has used in the Bible, and the encouragement by that is, God, if you can use them, then surely you can use me. And I've been looking at something for this week, and there's been a message, if you like, or a series of messages that's been floating around for me that I want to bring, but I want to finish this first before I bring something new next week. And as I was looking at next week's message, it really challenged me, so I hope that you'll be challenged by it too. But this week, we're going to look at the life of a young man. And when I say that he's a dreamer, you'll know exactly who I'm talking about. It's the life of Joseph. And when I started to prepare and started to read through scripture, I thought it was just, for me, I was going to plot the story of Joseph and say, listen, you know, this is what happens when you're young and you're foolish and you have a dream and you share it with your brothers and you share it with those around you, and certain things come into play, and then you plot his life. But one of the things that really struck me, and if I was going to label this, which I will do for Nigel, it will be the power of jealousy. And as I looked through this story, I could see the power of jealousy at work. And for us, it may not be that you're jealous of anybody, or there's jealousy within your life or jealousy within your hearts, but sometimes jealousy can creep up on us. And I would just want to read one or two portions of scripture from this story in Genesis 37, starting at verse 1. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. And this is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, just picture that, just a young man of 17. He was tending the flocks with his brothers. And his father asked him to bring a report about them. So it doesn't say it here, but maybe he's one of them people that he keeps an eye on his brothers, and he goes back and says, Dad, did you know that they said this and they done that and they shouldn't have done? Now in verse 3 it says this: Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his sons. He seemed to show a bit of favoritism here, according to scripture. The reason, because he had been born to him in his old age. And we in our family, we have 5 children between us and 13 grandchildren. And there have been times where some of our children have said about the other child, they're the golden boy, or paraphrasing that. And they think there's favoritism, but we love all our children the same. There are different responsibilities and different things that happen at different times. But for us as parents, we have that same love for our children. But there are times that they could see it differently, and I'm sure it was the same here. They were seeing something different. He's the favourite one. He's the one that can do nothing wrong. And there started the process, I believe, of jealousy. Because his father showed favouritism, the other sons became jealous. And jealousy has a power if we unleash it. But jealousy can have a power in a positive as well as a negative, and I'll explain towards the end of this message what I mean by that statement. He was born to him in his old age. He made him an ornate robe. It could have been a robe that was just simply something which was very nice and pleasant to look at. We know through stories it's a multicoloured garment, and that's what we conjure up in our minds when we think about Joseph and his dream coat. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could speak not even a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream. And when he told his brothers, they hated him all the more. And one of the first things we can see here for us as a church is there's times that we believe that God is speaking to us. Maybe not recently, but maybe when we were younger, or maybe even yesterday or this morning, and we believe God has said. How many of you, don't put hands up, how many of you have had something that you think is from the Lord and you've shared it with someone else? You've shared it with a brother, a spiritual brother or a spiritual sister or a spiritual father, and they've almost laughed at you. It does something, doesn't it? When we're not believed, it does something. Who do you think you are? You could imagine his brothers saying. They hated him all the more. Maybe it's a part of his growing up. Maybe it's a part of his naivety. And as Christians, through Scripture, it tells us that we should go from milk to meat. We start to chew on the Word of God, to digest it, to meditate on it. And that's the process that we as Christians have in a spiritual sense. And it's also a process that we all go through in a human sense, in a physical and emotional sense. There's a growing up that we have to go through. We were binding sheaves. He told him that there was a bowing down. And they interpreted it that he was going to be the superior and they was going to be the inferior. And they hated him all the more. I'm going to paraphrase this story because it's quite a long story. And when we look at this, his brothers start to hate him. And jealousy started to set in. So they conjured up a plot to get rid of him, to kill him, basically. And they put him in a pit. And they took his robe back to his father that was ripped and covered in blood and said that he'd been mauled by wild animals, that he was dead. And through the process of God's providence, because it's easy to be in the pit and think, Lord, what are you doing? You gave me a dream. You could put yourself in his position. You gave me a dream, and yet as soon as I share that with other people, hatred and jealousy comes in. So I want to encourage us as a church that if God speaks to you, it's okay to come and share. Because one of the things that we should do within church life is we should be those that will rejoice with those that rejoice and mourn with those that mourn. So if someone says, I have good fortune, I have found my silver coin, let's rejoice with them. If someone says, I've been praying that God would give me an increase in my finances and he has, let's rejoice with them. God has given me transportation that I didn't think I could ever have. Let's rejoice with them. Because if we don't, jealousy will take root and we may not see it. So I want us to be a church that will rejoice with those that rejoice and mourn with those that mourn. So that we can be truly a voice that will cry out into the wilderness. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand and Christ lives in me. So therefore, let me share some good news with you. So his brothers put him in a pit and they was going to kill him, but they was persuaded to sell him into slavery instead. So they did. And if you are familiar with this story, you will know that he was sold into Potiphar's house. So he went from the pit into Potiphar's house. And there it is said that the Lord was with him. There was favour upon his life. There's times where we are in the pit of life and we could say, and maybe you have, I thought you was for me, God. And yet here I am in this pit. And not only was he in the pit, he ended up being sold into slavery, but God was with him. And there's a point of reference here for us as church, is that no matter what we go through, we can still serve God's plans and purposes. Through Scripture, it tells us even those that were in slavery are to serve their masters well, when they're looking and when they're not looking. So there's an encouragement and a challenge for us to do the right thing, even though the wrong thing is being done to us. So this young man who clearly had a providence, clearly had a dream, clearly had a future, could easily find himself in a position where he says, my life is over. Nobody loves me, nobody cares. But this portion of Scripture tells us that while he was in Potiphar's house, Potiphar gave him charge of everything. And he entrusted him because he saw that the Lord was with him. And now through the story you will see that he was a handsome man, he was a well-built man, he was a man that other women would be lusting after. And Potiphar's wife was one of those women. And she thought she could do what she wanted with the slave, but she didn't bank on one thing. That's the integrity of Joseph. And there are times in our lives where people will assume that we will do anything, but they do not understand the integrity that God has given us through his grace that lives within us. So this young man refused. He pushed her away. And then the story goes on to tell us that she grabbed hold of him one day. She made sure all the servants were out of the room. She made sure that she was alone. Have you been in a position where it's your word against theirs? You see, it's not just your word against theirs, though, is it? God knows, doesn't he? And he says, I will justify you. I will avenge you. And we need to leave room for him. So if you've been mistreated by someone and it's your word against theirs, remember today, it's not. God knows. He knows, and he will justify you, he will vindicate you. So I bring this message to encourage us for such a time as this, because our words will be challenged. Our thoughts and our motives will be challenged. And here we have a young man who's saying, no, Potiphar has given me charge of everything. I can have anything apart from you, his wife. I will not. And this is what he says. He doesn't say, I will not dishonor my master. He said, I will not dishonor God, my God. I will not bring disgrace to my God. And he got falsely accused, didn't he, of molesting this woman. So when the husband came back, jealousy and rage rose up and he imprisoned him. He didn't put him to death, he put him in prison. Maybe there was something going on there, maybe there was a bit of grace that God was showing him at that point, at that moment in time. He put him in the prison of the king and the king's guard. So you have going from the pit into slavery, into prison. And yet, at the beginning of this story, Joseph had a dream. God has a plan for his life. Same as us. You imagine the beginning of your Christian walk. Everything was fresh, everything was exciting. And it's like, yes! And then, suddenly, you have all these obstacles in the way. It's easy to become disillusioned if we're not careful. We can allow the power of jealousy to rise up in a negative instead of a positive. So here we have this young man, he's in prison. And it says of Joseph that the Lord was with him. He was showing him favour even though he was in prison. And the chief guard gave him charge over all the prisoners because God was with him. I wonder how many times in this young man's life he thought, God, I thought you'd given me a dream. I thought you'd given me a ministry. I didn't realise that my ministry was going to be a prison ministry. So you have this young man who God's hand was upon clearly as a 17-year-old. And yes, he shared that with his brothers. He got despised and hated. And that hatred and that jealousy led him to be put into a pit. That led him to be sold into slavery, where ultimately he ended up in prison. And you'll understand and you'll know the story, and if not, read it through Genesis, where the cupbearer and the baker of the king were imprisoned. Obviously, the king was having a bad day and they had a dream. And no one could interpret the dream. And Joseph interpreted the dream. And he said of the cupbearer that in 3 days you will lift the cup into the king's hand again. Lift up your head. Says to the baker, in 3 days your head will be lifted off. See, it's not always good news when we inquire of God, is it? But here we have a young man who said, remember me. There's times in our lives where we have done the right thing at the right time with the right motives. We have given of ourselves. I'm sure you've been in the position where you've given a cup of cold water to a young one. You've given a loaf of bread. You've given out of what you haven't got. You've given the widow's mite. You've gone above and beyond some of the things. And you've been gracious and you've been humble. And all you expect is that you would share in some of that goodness that you've given out. And what happens at times? The world just forgets us. There's been times in your ministry and my ministry where we've given and we've not received. But here's the challenge. Why did we give in the first place? Did we give to get or did we give to sow? Seed, time and harvest. You see, the seed is sown, there's time and then there's a harvest. So be of good cheer. The seeds that you sowed when you was younger will produce a harvest now when you're older. And that's what we see in this young man's life. He was learning something. He was being encouraged. Now, I don't believe myself that God inflicted this pain upon him, but God knows the beginning from the end. So when we find ourselves in a pit, who do we call? We don't call Ghostbusters. We call on the Lord, don't we? We do, don't we? Because so often we can say, help, and we call to a brother. We call to a sister. We can say, help, we call to the government. We call to our employer, but actually we call to God. Lord, you know. You give me a way out of here. Our scripture doesn't tell us that's what this young man did. But when we look through his life, we know this for certain, that God had spoken to him. And because God had spoken to him, he knew. He must have known in his heart that God had a plan for him. Didn't understand it. Went from the pit into slavery, into prison. And then eventually he was remembered. Eventually, through the course of time, the king had a dream and no one could interpret it. And suddenly the cupbearer remembered Joseph. You see, there will be a suddenly in our lives where God opens every door. But there's going to be a learning process on the way. And when we look through the power of jealousy, the power of jealousy was broken by Joseph's attitude to serve. He served himself into favour. He served himself into the presence of the king. So he went from the pit to the palace, literally. And then when he interpreted the dream of the king, he said to the king, "You should find someone who is wise and able to store up food and grain and provisions for these 7 years of lack so that we have enough for the future." And the king said, "Surely that person stands before me now." And so we have this young 17-year-old who went through a journey, matured, had to keep trusting God, serving God, got to a position where he was second in command. He was a powerful man. And then going through the same story, you know that the sons ended up coming to ask for food. They didn't recognize who Joseph was, and Joseph didn't reveal himself. But there's a process that goes through this story. And then you get to a point where the brothers are bowing down before Joseph, and Joseph reveals himself. Now, you could be tempted, couldn't you, to go, "Right, gotcha. You wanted to kill me, now I'm going to kill you. You want to cause me pain, now I'm going to cause you pain." There's a temptation, isn't there? Or am I the only one? There's a temptation sometimes when people wrong us that we're in a position of authority over them that we want to wrong them. You see, there's a power in jealousy that can be negative, but there's also a power in jealousy that can be positive. So Joseph, full of compassion, understood what God was doing in his life. And I'm amazed at what he said. He said something like this: "Fear not. It wasn't you who sold me into slavery, it was God. It wasn't you who put me into the prison, it was God. Because God did this for such a time as this, so that I could save a nation. Because if I didn't go through what I went through, I wouldn't be where I was, and I couldn't do what I'm doing now. I'm saving a remnant of the Lord so that we can prosper and we can go forward. Fear not." Now, we can only do that if we've experienced the grace of God in our own lives, can't we? We can only act like that if jealousy has no hold on us. If we take the negative part of jealousy and we turn it into the positive. In Proverbs 6:34, it says, "For jealousy arouses a husband's fury, and he will show no mercy when he takes revenge." That's the negative part of jealousy. Anger, it says in Proverbs 27, verse 4, "Anger is cruel and fury overwhelming. But who can stand before jealousy?" You see, anger is bad enough on its own. And being furious, being mad is bad enough on its own. But this proverb says, but who can stand before jealousy? And I started to think about this and I thought, well, surely jealousy is no worse than anger, and fury is no worse than anger and jealousy. Surely it's just as powerful. But this is what thought came to me. When you're angry, or if I get angry, it's instant. It's instantly I'm angry and then it subsides. If I'm furious about something, and then it goes. But jealousy, I suggest, is something that's fostered. It's nurtured. I'll wait and I'll get my revenge. Jealousy starts to work in such a way that we don't even realise at times the power that it has. We don't even realise at the time. We can look over the neighbour's garden and instead of saying, "That's a lovely garden," we think, "I do twice as many hours work as they do and they've got a nice garden." Jealousy. Jealousy can start to ferment. So that's why I believe it says here that anger is cruel and fury is overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? Jealousy is very powerful. So I want to suggest to us as Christians that we can have a positive jealousy. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I'll tell you as we go along. In Luke 15, verse 7, Jesus continued. He was talking to those that would listen. He said, there was a man who had two sons. And we're very familiar with this portion of scripture. There's a man who had two sons, and the younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. Give me my inheritance. I want it now. And I want to go off and live my life my way. And this story says that the younger of the two sons went off and he lived his life the way he wanted to live his life. Every time I mention this portion of scripture, Julian, I always think about your dad, because every time I preach this in his hearing, that's my favourite portion of scripture. It talks about redemption. It talks about celebration. But this story, again, I will just paraphrase it rather than reading it all. This story talks about a father that had a large estate. He was wealthy and he had two sons. And the younger one says, I want my inheritance. I don't want to wait until you die. I want it now. And I want to go and enjoy my life. And it says that he went away and he spent all that he had. He squandered everything that he had. And he ended up in the pig pen, feeding the pigs with pods. And while he was there, scripture says that he came to his senses. Now just remember, as we're going through this story, the second son. Just remember his attitude. But I suggest that, you know, he felt a little bit justified about his attitude. Because he's seeing this son squandering everything that his father had worked for. And it says he came to his senses. And he says, my father's hired hands, they eat better than I do. I have sinned against God, and I've sinned against my father. I'll go back. And instead of receiving wrath, he received favour. But how can that be, I hear you ask? How can it be when someone deliberately squanders everything that's been given him by the father, and yet when the opportunity comes for the father to say, you deserve everything you get, he said, hang on. I see him coming in the distance. Let's prepare a party. Let's kill the fattened calf. Let's get the best robe. Let's get the ring. Let's get the sandals. My son was dead, but he's alive again. He was lost and now he's found. You see, there's an attitude, isn't there? The father didn't become jealous in the negative. He became jealous in the positive. He was jealous over his son. That was his son. He understood that he'd come to his senses. And when we look at this portion of scripture, it should encourage us that if we wander off and come to our senses, God is a jealous God over us. Not in a negative way, but in a positive way. And it goes on to talk about the second son. And it says that he said to his father, I've been working with you all this time. In 27, the older brother became angry and refused to go into the house to celebrate. He became angry. He was angry because of his jealousy. He was jealous because his father seemed to show favour on the younger son, because he gave him everything before he passed away. He gave him his total inheritance and he watched him squander it. And here is the older brother that I'm sure we can identify with going, Dad, I've worked for you all these years and you haven't even given me a barbecue, a sausage, a burger, nothing. And yet here we have this son of yours goes away, squanders everything, and that you kill the fattened calf and you hold a party. And his father says, don't be angry. He said, this son of mine was lost and now he's found. He was dead and now he's alive. He was blind and now he sees. And he turned round the father and said to the son something very important that we need to remember. When we think, and I'm sure you do at times, you look around at the world. You look around at some Christians who fall from grace, if we want to put it that way. And they seem to be blessed, don't they? And we, if we're not careful, can start to sow the seed of false or powerful jealousy in the negative sense. And we can start to say, God, how come you bless them and they're disobedient? And yet I'm obedient. I've served you all these years. I've turned up to church on a Sunday. I've come and I've ministered. I've come, Lord, and I've given up my finances, my talents. I've been obedient to your word all this time. And yet this one, you seem to bless him. And he turns around and he says to the son something that God says to us. Everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. You see, the Bible tells us that all the grace that was lavished upon Christ is lavished upon us. that we are sons and daughters of the living God. He's not dead, but he's alive. He that the Son sets free is free indeed. And that's the freedom that we can walk in if we don't allow jealousy to percolate, to mature. So what do I mean by a positive and a negative jealousy? In 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, Paul says, but people are still worldly. How do we tell the difference between living a worldly life and living a godly life? Well, Paul goes on and tells us, he said, because you're worldly, because there's still jealousy and quarrelling amongst you. Now, Paul is talking about the church. Now, I should imagine you've never ever been in church, have you, where you've witnessed or been part of quarrelling or jealousy, have you? No, you shouldn't lie. It's around us all the time, isn't it? But the challenge for us is to say, let's rejoice with those that rejoice. Let's mourn with those that mourn. Let's celebrate with those that celebrate. And when someone goes astray and they come back, let's be like the Father. And let's have a positive jealousy. Jealous over their life. Jealous over their restoration. Jealous over their goodness that God has lavished upon them. And I suggest as we do that as a church and as a people and as families, we'll start to see the grace of God upon ourselves more and more and more. In 2 Corinthians 11 verse 1, I hope you will put up with me a little foolishness, Paul says. Yes, please put up with me. I am jealous for you, Paul says. But listen to what he says here. I am jealous. Well, I thought jealousy was a bad thing. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I'm afraid, just as Eve was deceived, you've been deceived by the cunningness and the craftiness of the enemy. Now, Paul is saying this, I'm jealous over you. I want the best for you. That's the positive jealousy. I want the best for you. I want to see you prosper. I want to see you come into the fullness of what God has for me. You could say to yourself, yeah, okay, but I feel like I'm in the pit at the moment because I struggle to walk. I'm in the pit at the moment because my mind isn't the way that I believe my mind should be. I'm in the pit at the moment because of my financial situation. I'm in the pit at the moment because I know I shouldn't fear, but fear is starting to rule me. Well, we're jealous over you and God's jealous over you with a godly jealousy. He wants the best for you. He wants to see you encouraged. He wants to see you and I. He wants to see us walk through the valley experiences. Remember what the scripture says. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because your staff and your rod, they comfort me. You lead me to still waters. You lead me to green pastures. You see, we need to be led because we are his people. He leads us to that quietness. But there is the opportunity on the way to fall into the pit. There's an opportunity on the way to allow jealousy to keep us in the pit. I don't know what was going on in the mind of this young man. But I do know that he had an opportunity to bless or to curse. And scripture clearly tells us that he blessed. And we have that same opportunity, don't we? That's a challenge for us as we go forward. So I believe that, and I have to believe this because God gave us a promise. I believe that we will see people come back into fellowship that once weren't in fellowship. And God says, rejoice. Rejoice. Because I'm jealous over them. And I want to fill you with a godly jealousy. In Deuteronomy 4 verse 24 it says this, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire. A jealous God. See, when we think about jealousy, it's not always in a negative sense. We can be jealous. We can be jealous with a godly jealousy. We can be jealous or encouraging for other people. We can be those that will, even though we may not have it ourselves, we celebrate when someone else has it. Can you imagine, right? We have a meeting next week, and I bring a message on healing, and one person gets healed and no one else does. It's so easy to be jealous at that point, isn't it? Go, hang on a minute. Have you seen the way they live? I'm not going to look at anyone. Have you seen the way they live? I give
much more money than they do. Lord,
have you not seen what they've said, and yet you heal them? That happens in life, doesn't it? That happens in life. You're praying, you're believing for something, and someone else gets it, and you don't think they deserve it. Well, this young man, God had a plan and a purpose for him. He had a plan and a purpose for me and you. Nothing is wasted. But we can either allow jealousy to keep us in the pit, or we can have that righteous jealousy that puts us in the palace. See, God's given us a crown of glory. He says we are going from glory to glory. We're his children. If Father is king and we're his children, then we belong to him. We're part of a royal priesthood. And so often it's easy, to forget that. It's easy to forget it. But let's remember as we close this message, the point I want to bring forward is this. Jealousy can be negative or jealousy can be positive. I'm looking at these series of messages. It was primarily about the armour of God, how God gives us a protection. He gives us the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But we need to use the word of God correctly in order for the sword to cut smoothly. We don't want no jagged edges, do we? So when we take this word jealousy and we see it in its entirety, it can be destructive or it can be positive. You see, God is a consuming fire. It says that our works at the end times, our works, there's straw, stubble and hay, or wood, stubble and straw, whichever, and there's the preciousness of God as well. There's the silver, the gold and the precious stones. And it says there will be a fire, a consuming fire that will test our work. All the straw and the stubble and the wood will be consumed, but the goodness of what we do will be consumed. See, God is jealous over his people. He's jealous over you. See, when someone comes against you, they come against him. The Bible says, leave room for my wrath. So in this story of Joseph, he did that. He had an opportunity to get vengeance, and yet he didn't, because he understood vengeance belongs to the Lord. He had an opportunity to be jealous and full of hate, but he didn't. He was full of grace and mercy. That takes character, doesn't it? See, trial and tribulation produces character. Character produces hope, and hope won't disappoint. You've had a tough time at times. I know you have, because you're in the world. But God will take every opportunity, and he'll mature you, and he'll encourage you. So if there's any jealousy in our lives, let's just give it to God. Be honest with him. He knows the beginning from the end. And let's have a godly jealousy for one another. Let's start to pray that God blesses someone else. See, as we pray that God blesses someone else, then what happens? We get blessed. You see, as Joseph served in Potiphar's house, he was blessed. As he served in the prison, he was blessed. As he served in the royal household, he was blessed. As he served his brothers and his father's family, he was blessed. See, nothing is wasted. I'll finish with what he said in verse 7 of Genesis 45. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. God's given me and you great responsibility, because the power of the gospel lives within us. So this message today is about two jealousies, positive and negative. We'll close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace and your mercy. Father, we thank you that nothing in our lives are wasted. Lord, we pray today that you'll take the negatives and turn them into positives. You'll take my experiences, our experiences, where we've been betrayed, let down, falsely accused, that you'll take all those negative experiences and you'll turn them for good. What the enemy means for evil, you'll turn them for our good. We pray, Father God, that you would give us the wisdom to celebrate. You'd give us the wisdom to let go. You'd give us the wisdom to lay hold of your plans and purposes. Lord, as we look around us today, would you bless those on my right and bless those on my left? Would you provide for those that need? Would you heal those that need your healing today? Would you bring a provision, we pray today, for such a time as this? We ask this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen.